for your power toward us to heal our bodies. You're perfect in all of your ways. We thank you for that tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. It's great to see you all tonight, and it's good to be back in here. Yeah, of course, Robert shared last Wednesday, and I just was listening to that message. Got a chance to listen to it today and did a phenomenal job last Wednesday. If you were here, I know you were blessed, and I certainly was. Listened to it, and then, of course, we had Brother Kim Clout last Sunday. So, man, I feel like I hadn't preached in a while. I know it hadn't been that long, but I'm ready, and I hope you are. So the title of the message tonight is Hear and Be Healed. Hear, H-E-A-R, and be healed. And we'll start with Proverbs chapter 4 this evening. Proverbs 4:20, he says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." So what a great promise that we have here. Barbara, go ahead and close those doors, if you would. But God's words, it says, are life and health to all of our flesh. That's a great promise. Amen. His words, he says, they what? His words, okay. Just want to make sure y'all are here, okay. His words are life. God's words are life to those who find them, and their health to all of their flesh. So one translation even says medicine instead of health. It says medicine. So God's word is, we could say it that way, God's word is medicine to our flesh. But you know, for medicine to work, we're certainly not opposed to folks taking medicine if they need it. But for medicine to work, it has to be what? It has to be taken, doesn't it? You can't just go to the doctor, have him write a prescription, and then go, you know, to the drugstore and get him to fill the prescription and take it home and put it in the cabinet and expect to get better or expect to get the benefit from that medicine. You have to take it. And of course, we can add, you need to take it according to the prescription. You know, three times a day, you know, take two of these three times a day or whatever it is. But it has to be taken. Well, for God's word to work, to bring health to our flesh, it has to be taken as well. Well, how do we do that? How do we take it? Well, we take God's word, according to this scripture, by hearing. We take God's word by hearing it. Specifically, there's a little bit more to it than that. Specifically, what we're told in this passage. He says back in verse 20, he says, "Give attention to my words." And then he says, "Incline your ear to my sayings." In other words, make it a priority. Make hearing the word of God a priority. Focus on it. And then he says, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep it before you." And then he says, "Keep them in the midst of your heart." For then, when we take those steps, when we give attention to his word, when we incline our ear, what does that mean, incline your ear to his sayings? Well, it's like we're being pulled in two different directions. We can incline our ear to what God says, or we can incline our ear to what our symptoms are, to what the doctor has said, or what you've read on the internet. You know, and I don't want to condemn anybody, but, you know, first thing a lot of folks do when they feel like they may have some condition is they jump on the internet and find out all the bad things that might happen to them. Yeah, I think this is what I've got. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my word. Oh, my Lord. Well, that's inclining your ear away from what God says and toward what the natural is, what the symptoms may be, what the world says. God says, if you want my words to be life and health to you, then you have to incline your ear to what I said and my word. Amen? All right. He says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Well, do you know that by Jesus' stripes you were healed? Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Are you letting it depart from your eyes, though? You know, we should never be, we should never have an attitude of, oh yeah, I've heard that with the Word of God. It's, don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Then it'll be life. It says it's the words of, the words are life to who? What does it say? His words are life to who? Those who find them. Those who find them. And that's how you find them. By taking those steps, that's how you find them. His words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The Word of God is health to the flesh of all those who find God's Word. Amen. So let's go forward and look at the healing ministry of Jesus. In Matthew 4 and verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." So we see here that the teaching, in the way that Jesus operated and the way that Jesus ministered, the teaching and the preaching came before the healing. Do you see that? Why did he do that? Why was that his method? Well, when Jesus was teaching and preaching, what was happening? People were hearing. People were hearing, weren't they? When Jesus was teaching and preaching, obviously, people were hearing that, right? Well, what was he teaching and preaching? The Word of God, right? We know everything that Jesus taught and preached was the Word of God. So Jesus was teaching and preaching the Word of God, so we can say then that we can assume, or we can affirm, deduct from that, that the people were hearing the Word of God. Well, what happens, what does the Bible say happens when people hear the Word of God? Romans 10:17 clues us in on that. So then, what's the next two words? Faith comes. Faith comes. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So when we hear the Word of God, faith comes. Amen. So that's why Jesus was teaching and preaching, so that the people could hear, because he knew if they heard, then faith would come. And he knew if he could get faith into them, then they could receive their healing. And the same is true today. Praise God. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, "Now," he goes to his hometown, goes to Nazareth, and it says, "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people," the literal Greek indicates with minor ailments. He could do no mighty work there. A lot of places he was doing mighty works. A lot of places, you know, the lame and the blind and the deaf and the dumb were being healed. And you know, great miracles were taking place. But here, in his hometown, he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few. Everywhere else it says everybody that was around got healed. He healed all the people. But here he laid his hands on a few sick people with minor ailments and healed them. That was in his hometown. And then the next verse says, "And he marveled because of their" what? "Unbelief." So why was Jesus limited in what he could do among his own people in his own hometown? He was limited because of their unbelief. And so he got up and cussed them out and ran them out and said, "Don't ever come back here again." Is that what he did? No. It says, "Then he went about the villages in a circuit doing" what? Teaching. Why did he do that? Because he knew that the cure for unbelief was teaching. He knew that the people needed to hear, because when they heard, faith would come. Praise God. And so he was limited in what he could do. And the remedy he knew for that was to bring teaching, so that that would produce faith in the hearts of the people. Let's keep tracking on this. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together" to do what? "To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Perhaps you have come here tonight on purpose. I hope you have. We advertise this as a healing service. And that's what I want people to come on purpose. They're having a healing service. I'm going. I'm going to the healing service because I want to receive my healing. Well, that's what these people did. They came to Jesus. It says great multitudes came together, and they came, and they had a twofold purpose. The first part of that purpose was they came to hear. And then the second part was to be healed by him of their infirmities. They begin to understand. People begin to realize, hey, before we can be healed, we need to hear. Because when we hear, that's going to open up the avenue for the healing to flow into our lives. Amen. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 6. It says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came, again with a purpose, who came on purpose, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And guess, and look what happened. And they were healed. They were healed. It worked. It worked. They were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed a few sick people. Like happened in Nazareth. No. Healed them all. Healed them all. Power went out from him and healed them all. But what precipitated that, what started all that, was that they came to hear him. They understood. They came with an objective and with a purpose, and somehow they understood that they needed to hear him first, and then that the hearing was the first step in the process. And like I said, that would open them up, because faith would come, and that would open them up to receive the healing. Praise God. Now, we look at what we read that just happened. It says, power went out from him and healed them all. And let's go to the account of the woman with the issue of blood. And I think that these two accounts are connected somehow. Because Mark 5:25 says, now a certain woman, had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She really was a hopeless case. She had been sick for 12 years. She wasn't getting any better. She was just getting worse. She had spent all of her money on the doctors. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Notice that she said, you know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. I believe what happened is somebody from that crowd that in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19 came down to where she was, said, wait a minute, Pastor, Mark is before Luke. Well, the events in Luke chapter 6 probably took place before the events in Mark chapter 5, because Mark's gospel only has 16 chapters and Luke's has 24. So deduct it that way. But you can't prove it by the Bible, but neither can you disprove it. But so I believe somebody ran down from that meeting where power was coming out from Jesus. Everybody that touched him was healed. I think somebody came down and spread the news excitedly to this woman. You know, I was just in the meeting and Jesus was there and Jesus was healing people. In fact, they heard him speak. And he's healing people, and not just a few. Everybody there got healed. Everybody that touched him was healed. And she said, really? Really? And hope and faith began to stir as she heard. She heard something. She heard this report about Jesus. And that motivated her to say, you know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. So I believe she had to have heard about what happened down there. And so this woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus, and that's where faith began in her heart, because she heard. Amen? Can you see that? You see that connection? And he says, if I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. You know the rest of the story. She came, went through the crowd, touched his clothes. He sensed power going out of her, and we'll cut to the end of the story here in verse 34. And Jesus, he said to her, this woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Well, where'd that faith come from? Where did she get that faith? Yes, it came from what she heard. Praise God. So Jesus said this about the importance of hearing the word. It's not doesn't have anything to do with healing particularly, but it's in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I think it's so important what he says here. You know the story of the rich man. Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and went to hell. And Lazarus, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom afar off. And he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus." Lazarus was the beggar that died. And so he said, "Send Lazarus that he might just dip, you know, the tip of his finger in water and come and touch my tongue and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Father Abraham said, "No, can't do that. There's a great gulf fixed. Nobody can pass between us, you know, between here and there." And he said, okay, if that won't work," he said, if I can't get any help myself, I've got some brothers that are still on earth. They need to know not to come here. We didn't believe that this place was real. We didn't believe anybody actually ever went here. I don't want them to come here." And so verse 27 of Luke 16, "Then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus back from the dead, back from Abraham's bosom, back to the earth, that you would send him to my father's,'" because they knew Lazarus. He was that beggar that they all knew, and they knew he died. "So send him back. Send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." He said, "No, that's not going to do any good. If they're not going to hear the word," Abraham was saying, he said, "we really can't help them. If they're not willing to hear the word, then we really can't help them." And I don't know if you noticed, and maybe you think that's the wrong decision, but some time back I made a decision, and I asked Royal and Barbara to help me with it. That we would have, on Wednesday night particularly, we'd have folks filtering in all through the service and get here. A lot of them would get here right before the service ended, and they were only here. They were not here to hear the word of God. They were here just for the food pantry. And I said, "Okay, fine. If they, you know," and a lot of times, it would be distracting when they would come in. It would distract folks from paying attention and hearing the word. And I said, "Fine. If they want food, we'll give them food. That's fine. But let's let them wait outside. You know, if they don't want to hear the word, if they just want food, that's fine." Because I knew that, and some of them would come during the healing services, and we would, you know, end up praying for them. But they've not heard any word. They've not had anything to base their faith on. And so, you may think that's hard, but we have to make the word a priority. If you want to receive from the Lord, then you have to make his word a priority. We have to honor his word. Amen. So seeing a miracle, he said, send Lazarus back. They'll be, they'll see him, and that'll scare them, you know, and keep them, you know, that'll straighten their lives out and not end up where I've ended up. He said, "No, they've got Moses, they've got the prophets. The word already tells them how they need to be living and what they need to be doing. The word already tells them that." And he said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here's the point: seeing a miracle won't give you faith. It can inspire you, it can encourage you, but only the word of God can give you faith. Only the word can give you faith. We should see miracles, and we should have miracles. But if you think, "Well, if I could just see a miracle, then I could believe for my healing." Well, it could inspire you, but you won't believe for your healing until you get the Word of God into you, until you hear what God's Word says. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it happened," you know this story, Mary and Martha. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed.'" How many things are needed? One thing. One. What was that one thing that was needed? To hear the word. To hear the word. "But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Notice that phrase, because we're going to come look at that in another scripture that you're familiar with as well. Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. See, Martha was doing good things, but she was too busy to hear the word. We have to be careful that we don't get too busy to hear the word. She got distracted. She was in the kitchen making a meal. She could probably hear Jesus, but she wasn't hearing Jesus. Do you follow me? She could hear words being spoken, and she was picking up a word here and there that Jesus was saying. She was in the middle of fixing the meal. But Mary, her sister, on the other hand, was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word, hearing his word. What do you think she got? What do you think? In other words, Mary was giving the word her full attention. She was sitting at Jesus' feet and she was hearing his word. And Jesus said, she's chosen that good part. And what she's heard, what she's received, what's been imparted to her as she sat at my feet and heard my word, Jesus said, that's not going to be taken away from her. Praise God. So we have to take heed that we're not too busy to hear the word, because it's the word that produces faith, and it's faith that opens us up to receive everything that's been provided for us in redemption. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at the parable of the sower. You're familiar with that. And the parable of the sower is really all about hearing the word, isn't it? In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and does what? Takes away the word." What did Jesus say about Mary? It won't be taken from her. It won't be taken from her. But these, he says, the sower is sowing the word, and it's like seed. Now, again, Jesus told this in parable form. He said a sower went out to sow seed, and some of the seed fell by the wayside, almost by accident. Almost by accident. There was no purpose involved there. And the ground that got that seed, there was nothing that happened there, because they weren't even really, you know, those people weren't even really trying to hear. Yeah, they stumbled along a few things, but it's not anything they were really focused on that they were really trying to hear. And immediately when the word is sown, though, the devil knows the power of the word, and has more respect for the word than most Christians. He knows that if the word of God can get into the human heart, it's going to produce. And so the devil's going to come immediately and try to take that word away. And he was successful in doing so, and the ones sown by the wayside. So somebody that hears, but they're not really paying attention, Satan comes, "Well, I was in church." Yeah, but if you were not paying attention, then Satan's going to come and take that word from you. He comes immediately and takes away the word. And again, Jesus told Mary what she received because she was sitting at his feet, giving him her full attention. That wouldn't be taken. Praise God. Jesus goes on in this parable, these likewise, verse 16, are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, why does it arise? For the word's sake. Tribulation, persecution, trouble, anytime that comes into your life, you should know one thing, that Satan is after the word. That's what he's after. He's trying to get you off of the word of God. He's trying to get you to stop believing the word of God. He's trying to get you to let go of the word that's been sown in your heart. Again, because he knows if he can't get that word out of you, if he can't get you to let go of it, it's going to produce in your life, and that's going to be the end of him in your life. Amen? Okay, verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, any of that's good results, isn't it? 30, 60, or 100. So let's go look at this. So the second group, they didn't hear the word enough to get it rooted in them. They heard, but then when trouble came, I guess it's not for me, or, oh, well, I guess it doesn't really work. They didn't hear it enough to where it got rooted in them. And so the word was stolen from them. The third group allowed the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things to choke out the word, and therefore it didn't produce fruit. They got distracted. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? To get distracted on, well, I've got to do all this. Or the deceitfulness of riches. Now, God wants to bless us. What is the deceitfulness of riches? The deceitfulness of riches is, if I just had more money, then I would be happy. If I just had more money, then I would be happy. Well, God wants you to be happy right now, and yes, he wants to bless you with more money. Amen. And the desire for other things, what Jesus say was needed to Mary and Martha? One thing. The desire for other things choke the word, and it doesn't produce fruit. So, and then finally, the fourth group hears the word, it says, accepts it. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. In other words, they say, yeah, that's for me. Yes, that belongs to me. Yes, that applies to me. Yes, that's for me. Yes, God will do that for me. See, sometimes we reject the word, not outwardly. We say, oh, no, I don't reject the word. I believe it's true. I believe it's the word of God. I'm not rejecting it. But if we say, oh, yeah, but that wouldn't work for me. Oh, yeah, but I'm not good enough for that. Oh, yeah, but God wouldn't do that for me. That, we're rejecting the word when we do that. So these people hear the word and they accept it. Yes, that's mine. That's for me. I take it. And then it says they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Praise God. In fact, in the New Living Translation of Luke 8, Luke's account of the parable, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people. Look at this now. Who hear God's word, and what's that next phrase? Cling to it. Hold, one translation says, hold it fast. I like this, cling to it. You have to do that. You have to cling to the word of God. Amen? For it to produce fruit and patiently produce a huge harvest. Glory to God. When we receive it, we hear it, and we receive it, and we cling to it, it'll produce a huge harvest in our lives. Praise God. The word of God concerning healing can produce a harvest of healing in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Now, I've talked to you about hearing tonight, but I've not given you any word to give you faith to receive your healing. So I want to spend the next few minutes doing that. And there's a message that I've preached before called Seven Reasons Why Your Healing is Guaranteed. You might want to write these down. Seven Reasons Why Your Healing is Guaranteed. And I don't know, it helps me to write them down. It helps me to focus and hear when I'm writing it down. And you don't have to. But reason number one is this. God is not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. Seven reasons why your healing is guaranteed. Number one, God's not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, what? I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Not one time in the New Testament do we find Jesus saying, I'm sorry, I'm not willing. He's always willing. He's always willing. Praise God. I am willing. Be cleansed. Praise God. So again, reason number one, God's not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. You don't have to talk God into the notion of healing you. He's already done it. You just have to talk yourself into the notion of receiving it. Amen. Reason number two, and that's this. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has been purchased. It is finished. 1 Peter 2:24, I'm just giving some highlights of this. I don't have time to share the whole message, but just some highlights here. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you what? Were healed. Well, is Peter telling the truth? You know, Peter is looking back. He's looking back to the cross. He's looking back to what's already been accomplished. And he's quoting a part of Isaiah 53. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus came that by his stripes we are healed. And then Jesus came. And when he ministered to the crowd that gathered at Peter's home, when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, then a crowd gathered around and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, Matthew records, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Peter's quoting Isaiah 53:5, and yet, except he changes it from our to were. Jesus in his ministry was reaching forward to when he would die on the cross, to when he would pay for our sins. He hadn't taken the stripes yet there in Matthew chapter 8. But he says to the people that day, he said, here's your healing. I'm going to go ahead and put it on my credit card because I'm going to pay for it. I've got the funds. We're just going to go ahead and put it on the card right now. You can enjoy your healing now because I'm going to pay for it on the cross by his. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And now Peter is looking post-resurrection, is looking back at the cross, and he says, by whose stripes you were healed. Were healed. Our healing is already purchased. It's finished. It's done. Praise God. Reason number three, healing is a mercy. It's a free gift. It's not earned. You can't earn healing. You simply receive it. It's a mercy. Matthew 14:14, it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Why did he heal them? Because of Jesus' compassion, not because of anything they did to qualify, other than to be there and to ask and to believe. Jesus, in his mercy, healed them. Bartimaeus, as Jesus was heading into Jericho, cried out and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what is it you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. And he said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Faith in what? Faith in His mercy. Let your faith be in the mercy of God. God wants you well. God is merciful toward you. He doesn't want you suffering. He doesn't want you in pain. Not one moment. Not one day. You're not proving anything to Him. You're not paying for any bad thing you did. He wants you well. Amen. He wants you well. Praise God. Reason number four is this. Healing is your covenant right. We did a whole message on this recently. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Jesus talking about the woman that was bent over there in the synagogue and she couldn't straighten up. Jesus said, "Woman, you're loose from your infirmity." He laid His hands on her. She was made straight. And He made this comment. He said, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," think of it, "for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath." In other words, Jesus is saying this woman has a right to be healed because she's a daughter of Abraham. She's got a right to be healed because she's in covenant with God through Abraham. That is a covenant right of healing. It was established throughout the Old Testament. And the good news is this. The Bible says in Galatians, if you belong to Christ, then you too are Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. That means that healing is your covenant right. That means you ought to be healed. It's your right. Hallelujah. It's your covenant right. Praise God. Reason five is this. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will quicken your body. That means give life to. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Does He? Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Say, "Well, Pastor, that's talking about the resurrection when I die one day. That's talking about the rapture when Jesus comes back one day." Oh yeah, it's talking about that. But don't you think the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you, that can raise your body from the dead at the resurrection, don't you think He can keep it well while you're here? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Reason number six. Jesus authorized us to do the works that He did. When I say us, I mean every believer. And that includes healing the sick. Mark 16:17. "And these signs will follow the apostles," the original 12. "And when the last apostle dies, these signs will cease." That's the way a lot of folks have read this. But that's not what the Bible says. These signs will follow those who believe. Now, then the verse before that, He says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And then He says, "These signs will follow those who believe." So if that's passed away, then being saved is passed away. Think about it. The same ones that believe here in verse 17 are the same ones that He said those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Right? All right. "And these signs will follow those who believe." What are they? "In My name, they," those who believe, "will cast out demons. They," those who believe, "will speak with new tongues. They," those who believe, "will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They," those who believe, "will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus authorized believers to do this. Jesus authorized us to lay hands on others, on one another, and they'll recover. Amen. He authorized that. Praise God. And reason number seven, last one. There could be more. I'm sure there are, but seven's a good number. Right? Your healing is guaranteed because God is your loving Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" Praise God. Your Father, if we know as natural evil or his natural parents. If we know how to give good gifts, listen, would you, if your child was suffering with some disease or sickness and you had the power to make them well, would you withhold that? We should lock you away for child abuse if you would. If your child was suffering and you had the power to make them well, would you not be willing to make them well? Certainly. And he says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, he said, how much more will your Father, who? My Father. Call us. Is he your Father? Say, my Father. Praise God. Amen. Your Father, who is in heaven, he will give good things to who? Those who ask him. Those who ask him. Amen. Like Robert was talking about last week, you have to place a demand, not on God, but on the provision that he's made. He'll give good things to those who ask. So, Pastor, that doesn't say anything about healing. Well, Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about doing good and healing. Healing is good. Healing is one of the good things. Amen. Jesus went about doing good and healing. So our Heavenly Father gives good things, the good thing of healing, to his children who ask. In fact, Jesus said it this way, it's not right to take the children's bread. When a woman approached him, a Syrophoenician woman, when she approached him for the healing of her daughter, Jesus called healing, referred to the blessing of healing, the provision of healing, as the children's bread. In other words, the provision that belongs to the children, the provision that the children have a right to. And here it is, our Heavenly Father will give good things. If your children were hungry, would you withhold bread from them? Again, if you would, then we ought to lock you up for child abuse. Our Heavenly Father is not a child abuser. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. And as we sang about tonight, a good, good Father who's perfect in all of his ways to us. Amen? So your healing is guaranteed. Now, we talked about the process, and the process is hearing, because when we hear, then faith can come. Amen. And we know that we need to hear, and we need to give our attention to it, not just casually hear. And you've done that. You've been focused tonight as I proclaimed the word. You've been hearing it with a good heart. I believe it's gone into good ground. Praise God. And then we gave you not only the process, but we gave you the word to produce faith. These seven reasons why your healing is guaranteed. We gave you scripture, and that word produces faith. So, my next question is, are you ready to receive your healing?